Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
So very fast, Romans 8, 18 to 21. Today we speak about this glorious liberty. These glorious... Are you excited this morning, sir? Inside, outside, can you just stand to your left and right and shake somebody for 5 seconds? Shake the person. Just shake and shake. Do you understand? If you are in the middle, hold two of their hands. This has to be 5 seconds. Go ahead. Let it be a little exercise. Little exercise. And smile. Don't be looking, you know. Are you here? No, this is not Glory Carriers Ministry. Are you here? Are you here? All right. Let's get into the word. If you don't dull me, I won't dull you. We want to talk about this glorious liberty. You know, some people think when people are quite free, the Holy Ghost is not there. But the Bible says where the Holy Ghost is, there's freedom. There's no religious coordinations. Are you here? Thank you, Lord. Yes. I'm seeing just people here. You have finished your housemanship. Hallelujah to Jesus. This precious sister doesn't like to smile. Jimba, smile. This smile is coming more. Now we're talking. Hallelujah to Jesus. She just went back, or she just gave me this smile and went back. Like, you know when Nipa are trying to increase the current and they now come back. Those situations. But I declare the spirit of smile. Smiling. Thank you, Lord. From verse 18, it says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time," Paul the Apostle speaking, "is that are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Let's bow of scripture. He said, "For the earnest expectation of creation." And now, don't get it wrong, when Paul means the glory that shall be revealed in us here, it's not some sort of futuristic, as in when Jesus will come in the future, no? And I'll explain as we continue. Are we together? Said the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Alright? So in us, there paints a picture that it has to be in this world. Are you able to get what I'm trying to explain to you? And it's not something that is going to come from the sky. And even if we say something that will come from God, God within us. God within us. The assurance of that glory that Paul is speaking about. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? There's something coming out from the sky to the earth. See, for the earnest, then he says, the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for... Can we just go from 18? I want to read it all over again. From verse 18. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory." And let me give you a clue of the sufferings of this present time here, Paul meant. While you are trying to break away from the old habits and the flesh into the spirit's habits. Are we together? Those times where it seems like you are suffering. Psychology actually says that it is not even possible to leave an addiction. That's the best they know. Alright? And I've told you before that when it comes to the things of God, psychology has no tick. What they have for their fortification is nothing that can help them understand this new life in Christ. They have no clue of this new life in Christ. Are we together? So whatever you know in psychology is not enough to explain to you this new life in Christ. Those fortifications will just help you understand the damaged life outside eating. Psychologists don't understand the new man of the heart. Are we together? And that's why they feel like, according to all their research, they feel like one person cannot break an addiction. Yeah, that's what they believe. And it's terrible because they are the forefront of understanding the human soul. So for them to say that, it settles with a lot of people. Are we together? So we disagree because we are sons of the living God. Are we together? And we've seen it in the word that Jesus said, if anybody be in Christ, is a what? New creation. You're not going to be new when Jesus comes in the future. You are new now. Say, I'm new now. Hallelujah. So we don't replace an addiction with another addiction. We are new men in Christ, not better men. All right? We don't get better in Christ. We are new in Christ. Say, I'm new. Yes. So you got to start seeing yourself as new. Like I said last Sunday, you got to mount up a consciousness with this understanding that you are new. Mount up this consciousness. You are not better. You are new. Say, I'm new. Different database, all right? So this train vectors, which is God's word, is on our inside, in our soul. We think the word, and so we start seeing things, life differently. Image and likeness. God understood. He's the first computer scientist. He came as the word so that we can think like him and what? Live like him. Like I said, that's why he didn't come as fire. He came as the word. Logos. A way of thinking. So that we can think like him and what? Begin to live like him. Because human beings are a function of their thinking. Are we together? Very important. So we don't replace an addiction with another addiction. No. If you think like that, you are finished if you are a smoker. If you think like that, you are finished if you are somebody who is caught up with sexual sins. You see? That's the best they know. They don't have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit searches all things here, the deepest things of God. And you now in Makodi, in our way street, filled with the Holy Ghost, people will doubt you. When you begin to say these Holy Ghost sayings, are you getting what I'm trying to say? It will blow their mind. Like they will feel you are sick, like Jesus in Nazareth. They ask, can anything good come out from Nazareth? But don't get it wrong. The Bible said, even if you are in a way street in Makodi, as long as you are filled with the Holy Ghost and have the Word of God, it said you are the standard, the light of the world. You are not a model because you are in US. You are a model because you are in Christ. A city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. I said the first thing the Word of God and the Holy Ghost and your new nature in Christ is supposed to do is to kill low self-esteem. You don't see yourself lower than people who have white skin. And I don't think anybody has white skin. It's just the way they just say it. Oyinbo. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? When they say nonsense, you tell them, hello, you just said nonsense. Because you've got the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? Say, I've got the Holy Ghost. The Bible says the Holy Ghost searches all things, all things, all things. Yea, the deep things of God. He said, who knows the heart of a man but the spirit of that man? 1 Corinthians 2. He said, in the same way, who knows the heart of the Lord but the spirit of the Lord? And he said, you've got the Holy Ghost. So that you can know the things that what? God has what? Freely given unto you. Meaning with the Holy Ghost on your inside, if you read your Bible, you see the deep things of God. And that's why I always tell people, have an expectation when you read the word. As I open my Bible, I see everything God has in the Bible for me. There is no secret for one filled with the Holy Ghost. No secret in the Bible. Say some things we'll know when Jesus comes. You have the Holy Ghost. You can know all things. You can know all things. And so you should have an expectation to know all things. The expectation is very important. Don't read the Bible with an expectation that there are some things you will not know. You will know everything. Then it says, because of the Holy Ghost on our inside potentially, he said, we've got the mind of Christ. He said, who knows the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? He said, but you guys have. I have. We all have. The mind of Christ. Say, I have the mind of Christ. And that's why I don't talk failure. Even if I'm in a situation that seems suggests that I'm failing, I can't talk failure. I'm a success. Every time, anywhere, any day, say I'm a success. Say I've never failed in my life. I will never fail in my life. I know you are wondering if you are lying, but the Bible said, if you are in faith, filled with the Holy Ghost and the Word, it said every other thing will work together for your. And that's why you say you've never failed. Because they are working together for the good of something that's about to come. Are you listening to me? All the wrong situations. Say, I've never failed in my life. I can never fail in my life. Jesus said, I will not leave you helpless. I will send you the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. It is your advantage that he comes and I go. Not because he's better than me, but because he is another of my kind. And when he comes, he's not just restricted to Jerusalem. I coming back as the Holy Ghost, Jesus speaking, gives me the ability, gives me the power to be everywhere at the same time. Like Blessed Kenneth Hagin will say, he said the Holy Ghost is Jesus in gaseous form. He's everywhere. Are we together? That means he can be here and there at the same time. He can be in my house while I'm sleeping and be in your house while you are doing exercise at the same time. Operating at the same time. And that is why it's expedient that Jesus will go and come back as the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is another kind of Jesus. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Another state of Jesus. In a state where he can be everywhere at the same time. Solving all of our problems at the same time. Meaning if you've not got the Holy Ghost, you need help. But if you've got the Holy Ghost, you have all the help you ever need. He said, I will not leave you helpless. I will send you the Holy Ghost. How many of you have filled the Holy Ghost? You don't need help. You dish out help to people. Now stop seeing yourself as a victim from henceforth. I heard a man of God taught this years ago. He said, stop being on the crowd side. Start being on the Christ side. Stop seeing yourself as somebody who needs bread and fishes. Start seeing yourself as somebody who multiplies bread and fishes. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because you are a son of the living God. That's why you stand from and say, I refuse to be sick. In the name of Jesus. I refuse to walk in sin. No, I can't sin. He has said so that you may timidly say, carefully say. He has said so that you may what? Boldly say. If he says it in his word, you say it boldly. We're not created to be sinners. Are you listening to me? We're not created to be failures. God did not create any of his children to fail in life. Say, I refuse to fail. I am only successful. In the name of Jesus. I occupy the high places of life. In the name of Jesus. That's why even though you are in somewhere small now, think of high places. Because if you don't think it, you will not see it. Alright? God has given you your mind, so much blessing in the mind, so that you are able to think and enter into realities that you want and that he wants for you. Are you listening to me? Very important. He said, I'll do as I hear them say and think, or hear them imagine. Meaning God wants to do it, but you call him forth to help you by your imagination and thinking and speakings. And your speaking and thinking describes faith. We believe, and so we what? We speak. And the believing is in the heart. Are we together? Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So back to where we were. The sufferings of this present time, while you are trying to separate the spirit's work from the flesh, it's painful. You want to leave that old habit, that old way of speaking, that old way of thinking. It's painful. Now you are greeting everybody. You don't like to greet people. It's painful. And Satan will now make it more intoxicated. They will be more disrespectful now. You don't even greet them before. You've quarreled with them. Now you've made up your mind. You want to be a good Christian. You started greeting. Satan makes it terrible. They now comes with hotter rams, if there's any word like that. They are now more disrespectful. They talk to you every day. Now somebody is finding your trouble, making life more difficult for you. But you've made up your mind. That night, you say, oh Lord, from henceforth, in the name of Jesus, I want to be that ideal Christian. I want to talk the way you want me to talk. I want to behave. Then you wake up in the morning, somebody comes and say, your father. Do your worst. If you know your name, is Johnson, God will punish you. Do something. Refuse to be tempted to say, if I keep this Christianity aside. You can't keep this Christianity aside. Do you understand? There is no identity you have outside this new identity. Because you have died. You want to go and dig the grave back and bring that old man? Say, I'm dead with Christ. You died. The Bible says, we have died in Christ Jesus. Where's that part of scripture? Colossians 3:3. Let's read it together. Everyone with a loud voice, amplify your rendition. 1, 2, read. For you died. You're not going to die, oh. You died. You see that? Now, if you say you want to resurrect that old body now, you have to dig it out from the grave. Paul said, it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. The new me is Christ. And that's why I say the life I live in the flesh is by the faith. I begin to operate by the wisdom of God. The thinking of Jesus. The way he thinks, I'm thinking like that. Because this new identity is his identity. So I need his own syllabus to operate in this life. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? By the faith of the Son of God, who gave himself for me. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Go back there. So you see, the sufferings of this present time, it's painful. You have to pray now. You want to be a Christian, you have to pray now. A serious Christian, that ideal Christian. You have to pray now. You've created 2 hours, 1 hour, 3 hours. For some who want to grow now, you add some hours. For some who were not praying before, you say, I want to start with 1 hour. And sometimes it's terrible. All your body is aching. The moment you want to start praying, you start thinking of all the problems in the world. All the things Jesus have not done yet. Why do you need to pray again? You see, Satan will be bringing all forms of distraction. All forms of distraction, reminding you that you are not enough. You are not behaving well. Why are you disturbing God? Reminds you that you are addicted. Why are you coming here to pray? God cannot use you. You are useless. Just settle down for what you were doing. You are better off that lifestyle than this one. He will remind you. You know why he's doing all of those things? He knows that there's something into where you want to enter into. If Satan knows that there's nothing in prayer, he will not try to stop you from praying. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Logically, think about it. If truly you are useless, and God will not hear your prayer, why is he telling you that God will not hear your prayer? He wants to stop you from praying because he knows that the moment you have the impetus to pray, the Bible says the confidence we have is that when we pray, he answers us. Every time you want to pray, the Holy Ghost is ready to do something new in your life. You are not perfect to pray. You pray to be perfect. Oh, glory to God. You are not perfect to pray. You pray to be perfect. Because when you pray, you become one with the Word. So no amount of sin should stop you from prayer. In fact, it is prayer that stops the sin. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Don't pray when you have stopped sin. Pray to stop sin. And by that, I'm not suggesting that if you have stopped sin now, stop praying. I hope you get what I'm trying to explain to you. That your sin should not stop you from praying. Because the only way out of sin is prayer. Where there is sin, grace abides even more. The help of God is more for somebody in weakness. God wants to help you more if you're in weakness. I know some people misunderstand that scripture, but this is the literal meaning. Where there is sin, where there is weakness, God's grace comes so strong. And that's why he told Paul, now my grace is sufficient for you. Now my strength is perfect in this your weakness. Paul cried about his weakness. He said, oh, it's a beautiful time for my grace to be seen. It's a beautiful moment for my strength to be realized, Paul. At your weakest moment, God's greatest strength can find expression. Are you listening to me? But it will never happen until you have the impetus to pray. Pray. Tell somebody, pray. You go to him in prayer. You pray in the spirit. You just go and sit in the atmosphere of his presence. Are you listening to me? Thank you, Holy Ghost. Now go back there. It is painful. In fact, sometimes you have to leave certain friends. The sufferings of this present time. A few times it may even involve family. It's the truth. You've discovered this glorious liberty and they don't want you to go to the church. You used to know who you were. You were a clubber. Now you found Jesus. That's been their prayer. But this your Jesus now is too much. But you understand that what you've captured right now is the only way you can remain in the glory. The sufferings of this present time. Now you have to quit some few friends who talk nonsense. Anytime you sit with them, they either talk about men or women. You have to quit them. They can't be your friends any longer. The sufferings of this present time. In fact, sometimes it's a family member who likes to talk about boys. She likes to talk about boys and rubbish. You have to quit being close to her. You have to. Say, you listen now. You have to change or I stop talking to you. Why family, but you have to change. It's called consecration. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Hallelujah to Jesus. I told a lady years ago, I said, sometimes when you are immature yet, God will have you leave a certain city because of your soul. Because in that city, somebody always mess your soul. You always, anytime you travel there, there's this, your friend that will always take you to the club. God will have you leave that city because of your soul. Say, is it that serious? I say, yes. What can a man offer in exchange? Not even a city can be offered in exchange of his soul. Are you listening to me? Thank you, Holy Ghost. Like some, they go for NYC service, they forget they are Christians. They are down contesting Mrs. NYC and dancing the worldly songs all there. You know, I told you before. I said, don't feel deceived. Some of you, this your departmental prayer and meetings, have deceived you that you are a prayer warrior, that you pray. Because anytime you come on Wednesday and Friday, they always lead you in prayer. And you pray. When you go back home, that's the prayer for the week. You're only spiritual the day of rehearsals. So you may not be deceived. You have a personal work. No, you have a congregational work with God, not a personal work with God. That is why when you go for NYC and there's no Wednesday and Friday prayer again, everything finish. What you have been enjoying is the grace of the corporate anointing here. Tuesday you are in service, Wednesday you are in Riaza, Friday you feel highly spiritual. Now you are in NYC service, so join online service is war. Some is just one travel, they travel one. And when they were interfaced with darkness, they lost touch with divinity. Everything divinity. You are wondering, nobody this girl, nobody this boy, what has happened? They never had something for themselves. I think you get what I'm trying to say. Everything they had was a function of, you know, the corporate anointing, their department and everything that happens in church. They've never sat down with Jesus and said, Jesus, I want to talk to you. Are you listening to me? That's why when you go into the world, when you live, when you travel, change the geographical location, any form of temptation gets to you. In fact, now you want to marry a clubber. A lady called me one time and said, sir, I want to marry. I said, let me see the picture. The guy was wearing earring and had tattoo. I said, are you a serious person at all? He said, sir, he will change. I said, you will change him in the marriage? Now as I talk like this, we'll be like, sir, what is there? It's just, pastor, stop condemning. You know, ladies joke with their life. They joke with their life. You're going to stay at almost eternity till you die with somebody that obviously God has helped you to see that something is wrong somewhere. This one did not hide it. Before marriage, you have seen the tattoo. You have seen the earrings. Even nose ring. This is God's help to you. Ebenezer. You have seen the person, and he's a good man, such a great man. He did not deny, he showed you. Then you say, since I am God, come the way you are. After all, you are like Jesus, isn't it? You say, come the way you are. Then maybe because somebody hurt you in church, you say, see, that guy is a nice person. The only problem is that he doesn't pray in tongues. But he's a nice person. The other day, Oche hurt me in church. I know when somebody that prayed in tongues did that to me. Look at this guy. They seized my money. He gave me money. The only thing that you use to judge is money that they gave you. You know, some people are so funny. Somebody is good because he gives them money. They don't know that that money is called investment. There's a threshold. For some people say, when they just look at this lady, they say, $500. I'll invest $500 before it goes down. Some of them, before $150, it has happened. Some before even $100, it has happened. What am I saying? Some before $25. $25, it's gone. Because to you, it's only through money that they communicate, you know, that love is communicated. The other guy, the other one in church, any smarty will say, I should study the Bible. But this one now will send me money for my business. The good question we should ask, as he doesn't have money, should he, what should he give you? You know, some ladies are not realistic. You look at a young man who finished university with you, went for NYC with you. You now said, I want to marry a man with $500,000 in his account. If I'm that man, if I'm your friend, I'll stop being your friend. You are a wicked girl. We graduated, and now he's asking you out. You are saying, Oche, you don't have money. How much are you in your chest? Say 250. You say, I want somebody. How can you leave a good man because of you? You, what will you bring? If you bring another 250, is it not 500,000? You zero. Nobody. In fact, they can't employ you. You don't have anything to offer. There are some ladies that are not employable. Your company will die if they employ them. They don't have anything to offer. The only thing they have to offer is immoral dressing and TikTok challenge. And you see all these funny boys messaging them. You know, some of you are being deceived that you are beautiful because Yahoo boys are in your DMs. Yahoo. Hey, Stella, you're too fine. I would die for you. Stella, Kai, Stella, Kai, Stella, Stella, you are my heartbeat. Stella, you are the light of my world. You are the reason for my being. You are the essence of my life. You are the light of my life. Everything Jesus represents, the man is saying it. That you are. And you are happy that you are taking the place of Jesus in somebody else's life. They like deceivers. And you see they're smiling. He loves me. You know, one time I saw one of my boy posted his wife. He said, you are the essence of my being. And I messaged him. I said, what of Jesus? Which one do we give Jesus? Now, in the Bible, they say he's the light of life. You, which one are we giving Jesus? And I said, be saying realistic things. All these lie people are saying on your status. You will not intimidate anybody. Me, I will still post my own and say, I love you. Talk your own. Are you listening to me in this wonderful moment? Glory to God forevermore. So I've advised severally, as a lady, when you see a brother who is doing quite well, he has a tailoring shop in your streets, all out for tailors this season. He's doing well for himself. He's posting cards online. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He's trying to. You lift up his hands. Don't be lazy. Are you listening to me? Do not. Make up your mind to want to add value. They say, what do you have to offer? I say, I will carry a Bible 9 months in my womb. Is that not enough? Stop shouting. It's a simple question they ask you. You know, some ladies know how to do wayo, blackmail. What do you have to offer? Is it carrying a baby in my womb? Is that no. What do you have to offer? They did not say baby. They just asked you. I have baby to offer. Okay, for money now, what can you give? Ego. Can you give anything? Mm-mm, I have my life. I am a sacrifice. I am the worship. Have something to offer. That's just outside that addendum, okay? Not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Call up a few friends, like I said. All right? Are you here this wonderful moment? Very important. Next part of scripture. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. The revealing of the sons of God. Who are the sons of God? I and you. For as many as what? Have believed in his name, to them he has given the what? Power, rights to be called what? The sons of God. So the Bible said creation are eagerly waiting for our revealing. And he said for this revealing to happen, something has to happen. There ought to be a change. Because as we are interfaced with God's word daily, we have to go to the other side of what the word entails, isn't it? And before we get to the other side, there's this suffering, some sort of holy suffering, like I preached last two Sundays. Because you are living the whole old habit for the new. It's painful. That pruning is quite painful. But it's worth it. Like a lady years ago who stopped smoking, called me one morning, said, "Pastor, I feel like dying." I said, "Where are you?" And I drove exactly where she was. And we started gisting for a moment. She started laughing. I said, "Do you still feel those odds?" She said, "No." I said, "Beautiful. That's a devil." I was teaching some of my boys one time. I said, sometimes Satan will tempt you, especially with women. You will think if you don't do it now, you will die. Like a pastor who told me his story, he said, he used to stay with another pastor before he got married. So there's this lady that came to see him. His wife, at that time, they were just dating. And she came to visit. And his friend was not around. Very popular pastor. If you hear his name, you'd be so amazed. And he said, that day, the wife was too beautiful. He didn't know what kind of beauty was happening that day. What he was seeing every day, he didn't understand what happened to that woman that day. If she passed, you pretend he's watching TV. If she passed, you start telling God, "What is happening today?" She was just cooking in the kitchen and he couldn't concentrate. He would go and be peeping the kitchen. Then he would run, come back to the parlor. And his spirit was not moving. His body was moving. The Lord give you understanding. And so, he called his friend. He said, "Your brother is about to go. Almost going." The friend started running. He left what he was doing. Took bike, ran to the house. He said, "Not today, sir. We are not going anywhere." Very funny story. He said, "That's how God delivered me that day, prophet, sir." So I told some young people, I said, sometimes those burning sensations in your spirit, like Paul said, I showed somebody what Paul said. The person said, "What? Paul said that?" I said, "Yes, sir." Paul said, "Don't you know that even me myself burn, because I'm not talking about it, I burn too." And somebody say, "What kind of hellific fire is that? Making somebody burn." That fire is the fire of the Holy Ghost. Is the Holy Ghost is working. I know now you don't like it. You think it's Satan that put that fire? Oh, the fire. For even the person that sang this song has a baby. If there was a fire. This person that sang this song, yes, the fire burned him. The Holy Ghost is working in his earthen vessel. He has a child. Now, I'm not trying to mock him. It is God that put that desire in your heart. But it should be curtailed for the right person, not the wrong person. Are you listening to me this wonderful morning? See, the moment you realize that sex is from God, it changes everything. Do you know why many people are addicted? They think if met Satan, Satan did something, then sex started. It didn't start from God. That demonic, stupid gospel. When God said, "Be fruitful and multiply," what do you think it means there? So no, it means you should give birth after your own kind. I know. But it is when you give birth that it will be after your own kind. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You have to give birth first, then make that child like you, like God's word. You don't understand what I'm trying to talk about. It is both flesh and spirit. You give birth first and you make those children like God. A friend of mine said, "Pastor, I'll be preaching this thing. Let Christians be born in very well." That's part of the dominion mandate. Christians are not giving birth very well. I said, "That's your own cup of tea." Me, I'm not inside, but I've said what he said. I've passed the message. You want to give birth to 5? Fine. 6? Fine. 10? Fine. Be led. I will never stop people from giving birth in this church. Be led. Some of you like plenty children. Can I just have see your hands if you like plenty children? Okay, Pastor Emma is here. Go ahead. Hallelujah to Jesus. You want 10? You like plenty children, right? Good. But you didn't raise your hand. So he's God. See, the moment you know God is your castrator. The first day I read a book that said this, I almost froze. God is the originator of sex. I said, what? This man should be in hell. Who wrote this stupid demonic book? But being realistic, who created it? Is it Satan that inspired it? You know, maybe because of what we are seeing today, it's tempting us to think it's Satan. But originally in the purity of it, it was who? God Almighty. I know Satan would have used it wrongly today, but it is God that started it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I didn't say God did it. I said God started it. He is the one that put the desire in the hearts of men so that they give birth to children after his own kind. Are you listening to me? See, this simple statement I just made, but if you really understand it, it will deliver you from long-term addictions. You got to understand that this thing is from God. Satan should not be making you feel like it's from him. All you need is what we call self-control. It should be curtailed for the right person at the right time. That's why when it comes to the issue of sex, God did not say one of the fruit of the Spirit is the ability not to have sex. He said self-control. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Are you listening to me? Meaning God always wants you to give birth to children. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? See how the church is quiet. Everybody don't like this kind of topic. Why is Pastor just talking this thing this morning like this? I beg you, enter the realms of the immortals. Even those people that are preaching realm of immortals, they have 4 children now. They have mortals. They follow this mortal act to give birth to more mortals. They'll now pack all the mortals now in the realm of the world. Immortals. If you are the person that like immortal, yeah, now I'm teaching you how to have more immortals. You first come back to mortal and carry them to immortal. Are you here this wonderful morning? So it's not from Satan. But you see that Busuru own. You know Busuru? He goats. That one is from Satan. I'm talking about those boys that are chatting with 10 guests now on their WhatsApp and on Facebook. Now, if you open your messenger now, you have seen hi, beautiful, like 10 times. I'm talking about you now. That one is from Satan. It's called the spirit of he goats. Busuru is from Satan. That one is not from God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's a demonic spirit that you are in love with 5 boys at the same time. It's marine. Marine. Somebody say marine. Marine. They say, what is it about your relationship? The lady say, it's complicated. I like Johnson, but the way Gabriel, they move. Then the way John lives day. The way Boniface face day. I mean, it's called marine. Somebody say marine. Marine. One of my friends, that's how he calls it. You can't be in love with 5 boys. You are confused. There are no 2 ways. You can't be chatting. Say, Pastor, it's just chat. Why will you say hi, princess, 10 times? 10 different girls. Any girl that does makeup or is fine on Facebook, you have said hi, princess. My spiritual father, we say God cannot use you. God cannot use you. Because you cause catastrophe. Let me say that in English. Catastrophe. You cause it in your congregation. You've not dealt with that problem. God now gives you a congregation like this. Have you seen this church? Stand up and see it. Are you seeing the way ladies are beautiful? You are in trouble with your wife this evening. If God now puts you in this kind of church, it is finished. They will just give up the ghost on your head. Because after service, people will see you say, tell that sister, see me. Tell that person, see me. You've not dealt with it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? By the help of the Holy Ghost. And vice versa for the ladies. Yes. God gives you a church with fine boys. It is finished. Because ladies too pastor. Are you listening to me? Very important. So God in his wisdom said, we have to deal with this Mr. Flesh. I almost said it the way religious people say it. And you know, many people, the reason why I have a problem with this perspective is that they think the flesh is an enemy. It's not an enemy. God created the flesh not to kill us. For his glory. I'm going to show you very soon. You'll see it. You'll love it. For his glory. Everybody that comes to just keep on piling up. We'll do one service. This sermon is very powerful. I don't want to miss it. Are we together? Do you agree what I just said? If you like, don't agree. It's one service. Outside, are you here? Okay. Outside, I'm not on fire. That's why they came late. Outside, are you here? Okay. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hey, look at me. We are not going to. This is a very powerful sermon, and I want you guys to pay close attention. God created the flesh. God created the flesh. And God did not create something to disrupt his salvation plan. Alright? And the flesh is not supposed to be an enemy. The flesh is not our enemy. Are we together? It's a misunderstanding of the flesh that is causing all of these things to happen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So you see, that statement I just said, like I said, it will solve a lot of problem in your head. I used to be in that place where this statement solved a lot of problem in my head. That God is the one that created the idea called sex. He's the one. It is not Satan. Satan is using it wrongly. You there's this program called Big Brother Nigeria. You almost cannot even help yourself from seeing it. As you are scrolling through Facebook, you see their videos all there. That people are having sex on live TV. That's demonism. And if you are watching it, the devil, Satan is in your life. If you are here under the sound of my word, you want Big Brother Ninja, Satan is here in the middle. At the center of it all, Satan is in your heart. He is in your heart. There is Satan in your heart. Demons are walking in your life. As you watch Big Brother Ninja, is him that you see. You know, church people don't want people to be real with them. They want us to pamper their foolishness. Look at you, Agbaya, in the faith. 5 years in the faith, you are still watching Agbaya. Tata. Paul said in the scripture, he said at this point that you ought to be teachers. You should be teaching other people this faith. You still need feeding bottle. We should put a camel for you and be feeding you. Not because you don't have gray hair or you are not 26 or 29, but because of your character. Still doing foolish things, quarreling, being offended, listening to whiskey at this point of your life in defeat. Bonaboy is your idol. And you pray in tongues. Why are you wasting your tongues? Go and join him in the club. Pastor Simon, this is your dimension today. It's not speaking Greece. It's the way the Holy Ghost is pushing it. When Paul said, oh, you foolish Galatians, it is still grace. It's funny. And if we don't say it like this to some of you, you will not know that you are doing a foolish thing. I told you a story. A lady came to my office praying for her brother to change. That she has been praying, the brother is seeming like joining cultism or something like that. And I said to her, it will change. She said, I'm tired of praying. The way God would do it, her phone now rang. What was the song? Davido. Brother, they do one thing. One thing, they do one thing. This is a prayer warrior talking to me. What was playing there? Davido. She said, sorry, sir. I said, no, pick. I was gathering what to tell her. When she was done picking, I said, God cannot answer your prayer because of your character. Look at it. If you truly think God is great and powerful, and you want to go and pray to desire Him to cause something significant in your family, why will you be listening to this kind of song? As a king and a priest, can pure and impure water come out from the same fountain and ask her? You are removing powerful words from the realm of the spirit. And you are listening to these kind of things. This is what you fill your heart with. Then you want to go and release what? I release. You release femme. That's what you'll be releasing. Everything will be femme. But when you listen to gospel song, the word of God, when you begin to release words in the spirit, you start seeing changes. Real time changes will be happening. I don't know why people don't want us to be realistic with them. How can you be watching Big Brother Niger and want God to do something significant in your life? The only way you can get something significant is by compromise. Except you are working with God in alignment with the Holy Ghost. If you want God to do you something when you are working in the realm of darkness, it has to be by compromise. Because God will not give you something that will destroy you. If God doesn't see you capacitated, He will not cause some things to work for your life and in your favor. God cannot give you a lot of money when you love a lot of women. God cannot give you a lot of money when you love a lot of alcohol. He's killing you. Somebody that said that, what can a man offer in exchange of his soul? Meaning God will withhold anything. Anything. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Just for your soul to be okay. Because He has said in 3 John 2 in His word that will not prosper you beyond the prosperity of your soul. Meaning it is as your soul prospers that God thinks you should prosper physically. Are you listening to me this wonderful morning? And that's why the Bible tells us that we seek first the kingdom of God and what? Every other good thing will be added. Every other good thing. If you look at the very beginning, when Adam did the wrong thing, the ground was cursed because of his disobedience. Now that Adam, the second man, has come and have paid for everything the first man did, what happens to the ground? It is blessed because of your new identity. What am I trying to say? As you understand your place in Christ so much and you are in it, what happens? Everything in creation begins to respond to you. You now discover that the whole world is more like a magnetic field and you are the real metal. Anywhere you go to, things are working for your favor. Before you even pray, He answers you. You see that things are just because you are qualified for it. You deserve it. Are you listening to me? He doesn't desire the foolish to prosper. He said the prosperity of the foolish people would destroy them. So God doesn't want a foolish person to prosper physically. Because that prosperity will destroy them. Now the prisoner is not waiting. Let's read verse 19 before I say this quote of Romans 8. I want everyone to read. Want to read. For the earnest expectation of creation awaits what? The revealing of you and I, isn't it? The prisoner is not waiting for the jailer to come with a key. The prisoner is waiting for the king's children to remember they have the master key in their pockets. Very important. Paul does not say creation waits to be liberated when we get to heaven. He says creation waits for the manifestation, revealing, the public display, the unveiling of the sons of God. Why? Because the moment the sons truly know who they are and walk in that authority, the prison doors swing open for everyone else. Fulfilling the power of scripture, give me verse 20, let's read it together. Is that for the creation was subject to futility, not what? But because of what? And so the hope is the glorious liberty of the children of God. Let's see it in the next part of scripture. Very fast because of time. Because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of what? Into what? How will they be delivered? They will be delivered in our own liberty. Meaning if we are not free, creation will not be free. The hope of creation is you and I are revealing. Are you getting me this wonderful morning? And that revealing has a lot to do with your body. That's part of scripture. For we know that the whole creation grows and labors with bed pangs together until now. That's part of scripture. Not only that, but we also have the first fruit of the Spirit. Even we ourselves grow within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption. What is the adoption now? What is the adoption? Read together, I want to go. The redemption of our body. If you don't understand what God has done, especially as touching your body, you will never see the glory of the cross in your life. And I think that's why some sort of in this generation, it seems as if whatever Jesus did is useless. Because the way people are living their lives, it is suggesting that the cross is not truly powerful, but it is very powerful. Somebody claims to have understood the cross and is living a life anti-righteousness, anti-holiness, in the name of he understands freedom from the cross. I don't know if you people are getting what I'm trying to say this morning. That we talk a lot of cross and freedom in this generation, but there's no generation that has a lot of sin as regards tattoo, nose rings, and earrings like this generation. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? We speak, talk to me, church. If you are angry, I'll face you this morning. Talk to me. Are you here? Because some of you who love that lifestyle are keeping your mouth shut. But you see, your squeezed face does not make your lie the truth. One with God is what? Maturity. I've not seen a generation. I've not seen all the generation, actually. But the one I'm seeing yet, with the videos I've watched before, I've not seen a generation as crazy as this generation. And we have to talk to ourselves in this generation. We don't need fathers to be telling us every time. I saw a man of God writing something. He wrote something, sorry. He said it and they wrote it. And I think it is true that it is God's mercy that some of these fathers are still alive. An act of God's mercy. I believe it with the whole of my heart. What the rubbish happening in our generation today, if they are not alive, I wonder how truth will sound in this generation. They may not know it all, but they know one thing, righteousness and what? Holiness. In a generation claiming we understand freedom from the Bible so much like no any generation. Claiming we understand liberty. Claiming we are the new creation. The only proof is not even anything compared to what our fathers did. In terms of the power of the Holy Ghost and purity. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? In terms of purity. The only proof that we know better is tattoos, nose rings and earrings. Little or no demonstration of the Spirit. A generation who saw their dead come back to life. A generation, maybe we can mock the bells they use. We can mock some of those their practices. They did not wear earrings and the rest. But the sort of power of God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? We now understand that we are supposed to wear the earrings and supposed to keep the bells. But we now carry something even more. It's better I hold bell as a man and pray than carry two earrings and put on my ears and nose. Give me bell. Let me pray like Apostle Babalola. Give me the bell. Then carry bell and put on your ear, probably. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And nobody wants to talk because they're on TV and they're popular. It does not justify anything. I told you last 2 weeks, I said, the Lord has taken me to a point that I'm drunk. I can't see myself. I've forgotten myself. I really don't care what anybody thinks about me in this generation. I have never preached for money. I walk. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I would never preach for money. That is why I say the truth the way it comes from the Holy Ghost. He called me to be a prophet. And so I say the truth the way it is. No human being can influence my teaching. In our songs, you go to TV, you say you want to watch gospel song. What you will see will blow your mind. We never believe the generation will rise. We'll be singing gospel song want to start. I saw it in my two Korokorowa. It's shoe, the first advertise. Shoe. Then ring, chain on the neck. Gospel song, Jesus. Jesus. Those days they are on Kenoli, we just put their drum. Glory. Till today when we sing it, we still feel the power. The raw power of the Holy Ghost. But this generation now want to sing gospel song. They're like, glory of God. Everybody sing for me. Very careless. That's a holy moment. Everything now is afro and dance. I will say we want to see God more powerful in our generation. How? Chains that are corpses here that are falling now are everybody's body. Those chains should fall tonight in the name of Jesus. Somebody has to speak to this generation. It's getting too much. That we never knew that we'll come to a point that a church will be debating on is tattoo a sin or my problem is not even whether it's a sin or not a sin. You see, it gets to a point that the question is not whether something is sin or not sin. It's whether something is wisdom or foolishness. The Bible says all things are permissible. Even to go and sleep with somebody's wife. Is it not permissible? But the Bible says not all things are what? Not all things are what? Sorry? Necessary. As Christians, we do the necessary, not the permissible. All things are... Go and kill somebody now is permissible. But kill and see. To keep on living after killing is not permissible. Some people want to misunderstand what Paul was saying there. Paul is like, everything you want to do in this world is permissible. But only do that which is necessary. When something is not necessary, don't do it. So, when something is unnecessary, sorry, don't do it. Paul even said something. He said, anything not done in faith is sin. Meaning God should inspire anything you are doing in this world. It should inspire your dressing and everything. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because the promise of the new creation is that he will put his laws in our heart. Meaning God has to speak to you about what, how you should live your life. In fact, some consecration are personal to you. Do you know God can tell you not to eat certain food? Not because you will be holy, but to even protect your health. Do you know that? God can tell you to remove that bango. It's nothing about me. He has put his laws in our heart. He knows what that bango means to you. For some of you, the bango is an idol. You cannot go out without that bango. If you go somewhere and you remember you forget your bango, you are taking bike home or you are driving back home to go and carry. There's something about that bango that you are not really yourself until you wear it. And God will say, I want that thing too. I told you a story. I used to have this bango that I am just here in church. And I remember, see church, see me. I remember my bango is not in my hands. I'm going back home. I'll go back where those two bangles on my left hand. There's something that enters me. I just feel this happiness. I was praying in tongues. Oh. I feel this excitement. And I go back to church with so much peace. Then after the service, my spiritual father will just, how are you? And if he wants to shake you, you know he wants to cut the bango. Hey, Simon, will now use two hands. He will now cut the thing. He will draw it and fire you first time. Draw it again. Because anytime we see him, we are removing it to put in our pocket. Fire you first time, fire you second time, third time. He said anytime it cuts. He will just be firing you till the thing cuts. One day I look at my hand, it's getting red. I said, does all these things, does it matter? Every time I go to church, they'll fire me, bango, they'll fire me, bango. The bango man is not adding anything to my life. That day, I did not fire myself. I opened it and I caught the thing. I said, I'm delivered in the name of Jesus. And that day, I stopped wearing those things. I stopped listening to worldly song. Because that time, I was a child of God, but I like to listen to Bruno Mars and R. Kelly. Not some, you know, not some bad song like that. Some mild song. I don't know if some of you there now will understand me. Not some song that speaks about sex and the rest, just some mild song. It's a beautiful day. We're looking for something down to do. Oh, baby, I think I want to marry you. It's not a bad song. It's just a nice song. And if they ask me, I'll say, no, it's just a nice song. I'm not marrying anybody, but I'm preparing one day. In case I want to marry, I'll sing it for my wife. You know, I have all the justification. All of me wants all of you, all your curves and all your edges, all your perfect imperfections. It's not like all this worldly song in Nigeria. Oh yeah, shake that. Mm-mm. So we have all the justification. Because they know they shake anything. But you know, they can use English and still talk the bad things. Like this second one I said now. The first time they introduced this song to me, I don't know if I told you the story, they say it's a gospel song. One of my friends, I did not know what he was saying. He said, Pastor Simon, there's this new song. I said, which new song? He said, all of me want. Oh, I said, wow, sounds powerful. He said, I can't remember the person who sang it. I don't even know, but just go and write all of you. So I went home, I wrote all. Then I started worshiping. All of me want all of you. all your curves. I was like, curves and orange. What is curves? What is curves and edges? And do you know, I truly didn't know the meaning of that. Because it's English. You know, if you say it in vernacular, I may know. But the way, I've never heard anything. I've never used those terms. So I went to one of my friends who is a very worldly boy. His name was Peter. I said, Peter. I said, you know this song? I don't know if, I'm not sure you know the song. It's a gospel song. He knows the song already. He was just quiet looking at me. I said, this part of the song that said, oh, yo, what is the guy saying there? Because I'm not hearing the words. He said, what did they say? I said, something like curves and edges. He said, okay. What are you trying to say? I said, the meaning of it is a gospel song. He said, which gospel song? Yeah, yeah. He now said it in a vernacular way I cannot repeat. He said, now this, he carried me to a lady. He said, this is what it means. This. I said, don't shout. Calm down. What do you say it means? He said, I'm telling you what. So that's what you are singing to God. Hey! I never knew. All right, like I was saying, I was a fan of Bruno Mars, R. Kelly. I know the way R. Kelly was doing that, and that's how me too I was doing, you know, if you understand what I'm trying to say. R. Kelly used to be born again 2 months, then later 2 months, he goes back. I know. I mean, if you listen to R. Kelly, you understand what I'm trying to say. He saved me. He saved me. I wasn't. Then the next thing is one love, wicked love song. Then the next time again, he comes with a repentance song. That's how me too I was just going. But that day, I just told myself, why this honesty? Why is my, I'm just suffering for nothing. Though it hit my hand. If I want to be a Christian, let me. That's how I stopped listening to holy song. That day, when I went to church, my spiritual father saw the way I was praying. It was too intense. I felt like I have touched heaven for me to sacrifice those suities. Then he looked my hands. Look at my hands. He did not see bangle. He said, some people are waking up. Oh. I was just smiling because I know they were talking about me. That's how my life changed. It should change for you. My prayer life became more intense. When I speak things, now it happens. In fact, that was when my prophetic doubled. Because now my eye was clear. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Something wrong happened in your home. You are saying, God, why did I not see? It, with that kind eye, with what you are using your eye to see, you cannot see in the realm of the spirit. Because you are seeing waiting no good. How then do you see righteous things? Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So this generation, you know, it's quite funny. Everything is about vibes and blah, blah, blah. We don't know. A tongue-speaking Christian, best singer is Burna Boy. Tongue-speaking. Tongue-speaking. Holy Ghost fire brands is, of course, we're thinking we're Holy Ghost. You are not Holy Ghost, but that's what you call yourself. But it's Burna Boy. And when we try to talk, you are emotional. You see some of them want to cry. Why are you talking like that? Stop condemning him. Jesus loves him. Who said Jesus hates him before? Even as he's doing this thing he's doing now, Jesus loves him. Hope you know Jesus loves everybody. He loves us while we were still. That should not deceive you to keep on being a sinner. Why did he die for you while you are still a sinner? So that you keep on being a sinner? People that need the gospel, give them the gospel. Don't have low self-esteem because you are not on TV. Anybody on TV and is popular is doing the right thing. He said, I will not put new wine in old wineskin. Perhaps that's why we are not seeing God so mighty like he was in the days of our fathers. We are not even supposed to see God as mighty as he was in the days of our fathers. Listen to me carefully. We are supposed to see him times 10 in this generation. But there's something I stand with. He said, I cannot put what? New wine. In what? Old wineskin. In other words, God is waiting for people who are ready, who are capacitated by this new wineskin. That's what he's waiting for. Are people that are conscious of this glorious body. They know this glorious body and they are conscious of it. Paul did not say creation will be liberated when we get to heaven. He says creation wait for the manifestation of you and I. Now, I want to talk about the present glory very fast. Let's see John, 1 John 3 from verse 1. You've seen the scripture, so I'll just read my note very fast because of time. It says, okay, let me just read it. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called what? Children of God. It says, therefore, the world does not know him, know us, because it did not know him. Next part of scripture, very fast. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall what? See him as he is. Next part of scripture, the last part, very fast. And everyone who has this hope, this blessed assurance in him, purifies himself just as he is pure. God is pure. Now listen carefully. We are now the children of God, not we will be the children of God, as the scripture said now. The Bible said now we are children of God, not we will be. We are right now, isn't it? And what does this mean to be a child of God? It means you share in his nature. It means you have his spirit. It means you have been seated with Christ in heavenly places. It means the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you in your mortal body. Are we together? Follow me very, very carefully. You have access to his word. You have access to his word. You have access to his spirit in his fullness. When you speak that word in faith, you are operating in the liberty of the Son of God. You are not waiting for freedom. You are a conduit of freedom. Now, this is the point I want to hit. The Bible said in verse 2, very, very fast. It says, now we are the sons from verse 1. Then in verse 2, it says, okay, he said, now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed. I've done this before, but I'll do it again. The word revealed here does not suggest something futuristic. Are we together? It is something right now. The word in Greek means to unravel something. Somebody say unravel. Say unravel. To reveal something. It said, we have not yet been revealed, but we shall be. Sorry, it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, unraveled, we shall what? Be like him. Why? Because we what? If you think it's futuristic, then why 1 John 4:17? We're going to read together. 1 John 4:17. I want everyone to read with a loud voice. One to read. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have what? Because what? So if you think it's futuristic, the Bible said in the parousia, we will already be like him. Isn't it? That simply means, when are we like him? Now. Somebody say now. The only difference for people who are not manifesting themselves like God is revelation. When he is revealed to you, you shall be like him. Why? Because you shall see him as he is. Are you all listening to me this wonderful morning? Are you understanding me this wonderful morning? Are you here? Very important. So it's not futuristic. That's why the earnest expectation of creation are waiting for your manifestation. If you say it is when Jesus comes, then creation will never be liberated till Jesus comes. Is that what you are saying? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, I want to hit another point. That Christianity is not a philosophy for demonish, disembodied souls. It is a religion of the incarnation. Why did I say this? John says, the word was made what? Flesh. And it what? Dwelt amongst us. And we what? Beheld his glory. Why did he take flesh? I've said this several times. Why did God take flesh? Because flesh is not what flesh is what is needed in saving humanity, isn't it? Because flesh is what is needed in what? Saving humanity. Now, God did not come as a ghost. He came with bones. He came with blood. He came with sweat and even tears, isn't it? He came with a body that could be tired, a body that could be hungry, a body that could be wounded, and even a body that could be killed, isn't it? Why? Because your body is not a prison for your soul. Your body is not what? A prison for your soul. Your body is a temple, like you all know, of the Holy Spirit. And if your body is not part of the redemption, then Jesus died for nothing. It's the truth. Like Romans 12 will say, your most reasonable service is to the end that your body are offered a living sacrifice to the Father. Isn't it? In other words, if you truly understand what Jesus has done, your body should respond in harmony with your spirit as regards living a holy and righteous life. In other words, if you are walking in sin, you don't understand what Jesus has done. Because your most reasonable service, the only thing that proves to God that you truly understand what he did for you on Calvary, is that your body is offered a what? Living sacrifice. Not dead sacrifices. Living. Meaning while you are alive, you are living for God. Are you listening to me? Remember, I did not say present your spirits or minds alone. It said present your what? Bodies. In fact, the Bible says God did not spare his own son's body. He gave his son's bodies to be broken. Communion, you practice it, right? That's what it means for Jesus to have died. He gave his own son's body, flesh to be torn, his blood to be poured out. The cross was a physical bodily event. The resurrection was a physical bodily event. An empty tomb, not a ghost story, isn't it? The ascension even was physical, bodily event. A real man with real scars going up into the clouds, isn't it? Now, there's a question here. If God went to such length to redeem the body, then the only reasonable response is to present same body what? Back to him. Not as dead thing when we die and now make heaven. That's not what he wants. That's not what he wants. But as a living sacrifice. Your hands, your feet, your eyes, your tongue, your flesh, all of it belongs to God. Say, everything that I've got belongs to God. Jesus did everything he did on Calvary so that our bodies are his, our body, soul, and spirit. In fact, the best response should be our body. Because in the book of Revelation, the zenith of the scriptures, the Bible said, behold, the tabernacle of God is now with men, and it shall reign on the earth forever. In other words, if God didn't find a befitting place on the place of the earth to live and reign, there is no way he would dominate the earth finally and even now. I know I got you confused. Let me say it again. From the very beginning, God wanted to rule, and he still wants to do that today. He wants to rule the earth through man. That's what we call kingdom. Are we together? He wants to reign on the earth through man. And the only way God can find full expression upon the face of that is not when our spirits are perfect. Neither when our, you know, it's even funny to say your spirit and soul are perfect, but your body is experiencing perfection. It's a nonsense talk. You know why? Your soul cannot be perfect and your body will not experience that perfection. I don't know that you got what I just said. In Paul's writing in 2 Thessalonians, he said, God has perfected our spirit, what? Souls, and what? Not will perfect, he has. What we are doing right now with this knowledge is to make sure we enter into the reality of this perfection in our body. When we know this truth, we enter into the reality, which is freedom. Our body belongs to God already. What we are doing according to Romans 12 is to acknowledge. So when the knowledge comes, we acknowledge. When the knowledge comes, we acknowledge. The knowledge comes by the Holy Spirit that this body belongs to God. It was dead. It was buried. Now it has resurrected unto glory. It cannot sin again. When we have this knowledge, then we acknowledge that this body actually belongs to God. Because this body cannot sin. It is dead. It was buried. This body sits together with Christ. Are we together? So it cannot sin. Now that I know my body cannot sin, what will I do? I will not sin. So I refuse to sin. Because I know my body cannot sin. God has perfected my body. He has made it so perfect that it cannot sin. With this knowledge, you begin to mount up, you know, a consciousness on your inside. Every morning, you wake up. I have a body that cannot sin. Somebody asked, what has kept you over the years? I said it several times. I'm saying it again. It's knowledge. I was teaching leaders yesterday, and I started giving them some examples. I said, I've seen trials and temptation. You don't want to even hear some of the stories. But I can tell you one thing that kept me going. It's nothing but the power of God through the knowledge that the Holy Spirit gave me of His Word. That has been my sustaining power over the years. I'm a fine boy and I know it. You know, it's one thing to be a fine boy, and another thing to know you're a fine boy is terrible. My own is that I am a fine boy and I know. And if you think I'm not fine, Satan is working on your inside because he's so obvious. And so I had all the trials you can imagine and temptation. But I could not see myself. I can't even imagine. It's not like I'm pitying God. It's not this unnecessary show of emotions. No, no. Mm-mm. It was cool and in peace that God helped me to overcome. I was telling leaders, I said, do you really think about what you see here every Sunday? Living divinity in simplicity. Years ago, I was telling an apostle, very popular. I said, my vision is this, and this is the motto of my ministry, living divinity in simplicity. He asked me a question. Who lives divinity in simplicity? I said, me, sir. Then I told him, one of my old line, I said, Christ, the revelation of Christ is the grease for the smooth life. As you know your place in Christ, this becomes your grease, so that Christianity, divinity, living divinity becomes very easy. God did not create us and want us to live one hard life. He didn't give us Zoe and say, let it be hard for you. No. In fact, he said, when people are tempted, they are tempted by their own sinful desire. But if you fill your heart with God's word so much, those sinful desires will not be there. Are you listening to me? It will not even be there. There's a technology, hearing the word of God. See, if you sit down without listening to God's word, you become a prey to the devil. You are not better than the principles of God's word. You are the message of the principles of God's word. Faith cometh by, hearing by. You stop hearing, you stop living in faith. You stop hearing. Meaning your Christian life is as effective as your prayer life. And by prayer life, I mean times of meditation. Times you sit with the word, meditate and pray in the Holy Ghost. If you don't have time to sit with the word of God, meditate and pray in the Holy Ghost, you can never be effective as a Christian. You can never live above sin. David said, I have hid your word in my heart so that I will live above sin, so that I will not sin against you. The only way you can reign and live above sin is that God's word is in your word, heart. So if you cut yourself off those technologies that entails that the word of God is in your heart, you can't live above sin. You see, as powerful as the truth I'm teaching you is, you can never use it to live above sin if you don't have times of meditation. And that's my fear for this generation. There is little or no appetite for prayer. We have mocked some of these crazy forms of prayer that we have forgotten that we ourselves are supposed to pray. We are supposed to pray. Tell somebody we are supposed to pray. It's time to create time, genuine time to pray. If not, one day we'll wake up and this Christianity will not be available. I'm telling you the truth. Paul told Timothy, he said, firstly, he said, study to show thyself approved. Then secondly, he said, give yourself wholly to these things so that the profiting may appear to everyone. You have to give yourself wholly to it. Imagine that I come here every Sunday just teaching. People have not seen the demonstration of God's Spirit. Oh, I'm preaching one thing and they are seeing another thing. I would have led a lot of people astray. Some of you would think you would just change church. You are not even so sure. Some of you may not even be in the faith. Because the person you probably looked up to is living another kind of life. There's a part in your soul already. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Very important. And that's why most times Satan likes to target the head. The self-fellowship head. The pastor. The set man. The cell leader, the fellowship head leader, the HOD, he likes to target the head. Immediately you are behaving wrongly. Let's take for instance in this church. We had a situation like that, of course. Some of you know about it. You just see that a leader misbehaves. The people under the leader now, their Christianity is a little bit shaky. I remember we were talking to Mamati one time. She said, Pastor Simon, what would these people do? I said, leave them to God. It is God's people. We should not worry about them like it's our... We are not the ones that started GCMI. It is God. I said, nobody... I told her, I said, nobody is powerful enough to steal what God doesn't want them to be stolen. Except God wants them to leave. But I told her, it's the truth. We admit their Christianity will be a little bit shaky. Because they looked up to this person. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? And the person now is not in alignment with the Holy Ghost, or the person is misbehaving. What is then their faith? Imagine Jesus is nowhere to be found. What will happen to the disciples? You know, as a pastor, I give you people HODs and cell leaders and the rest. Imagine the person you look up to directly misbehave. A lot of times it affects your faith. And that's what Satan likes. He targets the head. He targets the head. Like one time I was talking with a young boy. When he came to church, he was so on fire. He went to school. He went and created his cell. He started doing cell. And I was talking to his HOD, Pastor Emma. I said, why did this boy start cell? He said, sir, he told me he wants to start cell, that the fire is burning. I said, are you sure this boy can do cell? Let's not start something we can't finish. He said, sir, I think he can do it. I've checked him. I said, okay, fine. It's a good thing to gather God's people and teach them the word. Created a group for them, GCMI, whatsoever group. And they were doing the cell. And one time I found out he was not so dedicated in church again. Something happened, whatever happened with him, I don't know. And I called Pastor Emma. I said, how about the cell? Firstly, of course, I care about his soul. Then I asked next, well, how about that cell? What is happening with that cell? He said, sir, even me, I don't know anything about the cell. I think he just scattered the group. I said, is it that easy? People don't think, is it that easy to gather God's people and just scatter it? Man, I'm scared. Somebody has a cell meeting, but he has a birthday celebration for his auntie to attend. They leave the cell meeting. You know, it sounds so important. My auntie's child has a birthday celebration. You have cell to go and add value to the lives of people, kingdom value. You know, that's why some people think in GCMI administration is very tough. I'm sure some of you have thought of that. And pastor does not allow people to travel too much. It's not about traveling too much. There are some things in this world that are more important than other things. Some people remember my sister's wedding. Some of the leaders remember my sister's wedding, biological sister. They did it in Makoni. It is when we finish our official Saturday leaders meeting that I rush for the wedding. They were there. It's not like somebody told them. I wear my agbada. I came for official meeting. When we finish, I carry my agbada and I went for wedding. Why? Because some things are more important. If I'm not in the wedding, my father is alive. He's there. I'm not even the father of the... I'm not sure they have a special seat for me. I'm just a boy in the day, not the father of the day. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Some things... Talk to me, church. Some things are more what? Important than other things. Whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not. Are you here this wonderful morning? Like one time I was teaching leaders. Can I teach you this hard side of the gospel? Should I talk about it? I said, when we were growing up, those days, the only food I know, till now my wife is trying to deliver me, the only food I know is rice and luam, ona. I don't know any other food again. I know rice and ona. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? In fact, in school it was worse. One of my favorite soup, not because it was my favorite, it has to be my favorite by force for me to survive. It was Ijangada. I know some of you don't know that soup. In Tiv language, it's called Tuwe. They used to grind it plenty and give me. I told my mother, grind it. My mother said, why do you like this? I said, mommy, I discovered it in school. Please give me plain. Buy me this thing. What is wrong? My father started laughing. Why is it that this boy is liking this soup? I went to school. I saw one soup that you just boil hot water. You just put on maggi. And you just do. The thing is wrong. I said, No. Life should not be hard. And you see, the beautiful thing is that hot water you are boiling can serve both ways. You can make eba and do the soup. It's so easy. You can just, you want to go for lectures, say, give me 5 minutes, I'll join you people in school. Just give me 5 minutes. They will think it's a joke. 5 minutes as you are boiling water, you have eaten, you are in school. So when I discovered that technology, I gave God praise. It became my best. All you need in the house is Maggi and salt and a lot of ejangada and curry. Then if you like, you can buy fresh fish and fry it and join it. And sometimes you can go uka uka with it. Oh my God. I learned even uka uka in school. I don't know if you know uka uka. My goodness. It's a technology. Say, Pastor, suffer. It's not so, it's you that seen it as suffer. It's not sufferness. It was fun for me. And if you are here eating ijangada, and don't think they are suffering, you are not suffering. What is different? Okay, now it's Indomie enjoyment. I'm eating Indomie and egg. You are eating ijangada. You don't know you are eating a more healthier food. Say, Pastor Joe, agree. Yeah. The senior fan of it. But it's the truth. I was speaking with a doctor friend. He said, do you know most problems people are having today with their health is tied to this chemical food? He was even saying more with ladies. I was speaking to somebody, they operated recently, fibroid. So I was in his office, we were talking. I said, it was fibroid blood. They said, ah, man of God, is this new food? Though? Even granite is not safe. They used to inject granite. They used to, everything that the granite he used to know in his generation is not the one in this generation. That this one will be big. It does not have taste. The only thing that got me disappointed is that the granite person now passed, he still bought the time. So I now said, but how, why is he still buying the granite? He said, man of God, so we should not eat granite because of that. I said, we should. We meet why now fish. And we're eating the granite. He said, that's what causes all of these problems we're seeing. A lady who just, you know, this generation, there's more of these fibroid cases. We're not hearing it in our mother's generation. Stop eating Indomie too much. If it's not Indomie, it's all of this chemical food. Chemical food. Buy me. Sonny, if you are coming back, please. Buy me. Then they call this chemical food. You see a lady, as month end, is 2 cartons of Indomie. She's going to her house. Stop them. Be eating luam, tuo. Are you listening to me? Learn to eat natural food. My wife knows me. People that stay with me closely, they know me. If you are cooking for me, you put all of these artificial things, you will eat it. You want to do normal soup that they'll be fetching with honor, you put curry, you put thyme. You come and eat that soup. Because if I smell it, I don't need to eat it. I just need to look at it. There's just something, hatred that will just come upon. Some people do it. Some people put time. Anything they put time, anything in this world, they'll carry live crayfish, live flowing crayfish, and put inside. Crayfish will be looking at you inside the soup. Somebody is eating draw soup, he's seeing crayfish saying hello. Then some is live onions. You know what they mean by live onions? You just first draw soup and say onions, say hi. Any smart in time, any smart in curry, any smart in hunger. You be smelling meat and goat meat, you not see goat meat. Only thing you get is smell of the goat meat. I wonder why people cook like that. If you want to give us goat meat, give us goat meat. Don't buy goat flavors. Forget those things. Eat natural firewood food. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? You know, these generation girls don't like hard work. They don't like anything hard. One day I told my wife, go and do firewood. Say, Pastor Simon, what's that? I said, I want to eat firewood food. I will not tell you the response. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. avoid this. This is part of the gospel. Avoid all of these chemical stuff. Then all this drinking of some of you energy drink. Any small thing you want energy. Any small thing you have, buy energy drink. There's one they buy called, I called the name one time, Fearless. All of those things are very, very wrong. You want to drink anything, do kunu. They are laughing. They think we are low lives because we say kunu. Not those type of idoma one that they will put the this thing inside, the dusa inside. What kind of kunu is that? It's even agatu people that do that thing. They'll say do kunu, they'll leave the dusa. You know what they call dusa? The shaft. You see, now what thing they make and sweet with that? What kind of thing is that? Who drinks shaft? Then when you drink in the afternoon, your stomach will start paining you on one side. What we call kunu, I think normal people should understand. They should tell us the name of that one. Is it burkutu or something else? What we call kunu, they used to remove shafts. And I can't see kunu nzaki. Kunajiko? Abole? Ichebe? It's no enjoyment, but this is the point I wanted to make. I was not living any flamboyant. What I knew was rice and ona, ijangada, alefo soup. You would have encountered my alefo soup. If you have tasted it, you can give God glory. They know me. I will buy alefo full depot. Why? If I see alefo used to run in the market. Anywhere I see alefo, they used to run. Alefo knows me. I consume alefo for a living. Then I'll now buy plenty fish. Those days, 152. We'll put like 500 fish in the pot. It serves for 1 week. Put it in my small fridge in the house. That's how I was living my life. People will say, Pastor Simon, you are looking fresh. They don't know what was working. I left for Ijangada. This generation, they say, why have you not partnered? I say, sir, there's no food stop in my house. Okay. What do you have now? I just have rice and beans and small turning food. I've not buy spaghetti and indomie. That's what I love to eat more. When I'm done with food stuff, then I'll be able to partner. Wow. Wow. You just feel like God wants to flog somebody. You have rice. You have beans. You have even turning food. You want to buy. You've not given God partnership. You want to buy indomie. You are eating two bags of cement. 4 bags of cement. How much is a carton of indomie? Engineer? Eh? Oh, you will not know that one. You is bag of cement, you know. How much is carton of indomie, Latifa? Miss Indomie. What is the carton of indomie? Tell me very fast. Eh? 14,000. 14,000. 16,500. 16,500 going. 16,500. All right, let's stay with 16,500. It is bigger than one bag of cement. We are building a church. Somebody is eating one bag of cement. Cement is because of you. Our building is in your stomach. You are not, see, that's what we mean by sacrifice. You are not a living sacrifice unto the Lord. What am I trying to say, in essence? Sometimes you have to cut some things just to give God glory in your life. And I'm not telling you what I don't do as a person. You can ask my wife and ask people who are very close to me. You must learn it. You can't say you are a Christian, you don't know sacrifice. What kind of a Christian are you? I know that there are people who take advantage of people, but in scripture, sacrifice was taught. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? God teach, in fact, look at it in the Bible. God sees a woman who has her last. He says she should what? If you are there and you hear a prophet saying, God says you should give, and the woman has her last, what will you call that prophet? It's because it's in the Bible that we are reading it with clear eye. We are not shouting. If any man of God say that story today in Nigeria, there's no insult. We'll not insult that man of God. Don't insult that man of God. But it's in the Bible. Because no matter what, God's principles stand. It is givers that never lack. Not what? Receivers. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? I don't mean careless giving. Give as led by the Spirit. The only problem we're having is that some of you, the Spirit has never led you to give. They say God loves a cheerful giver. You have never been cheerful enough to give. Some, when they say give to the things of God, they'll say, I give to the poor. That's foolishness speaking. Give to the poor, give to the things of God. We cannot collect the poor people's money to organize crusade and build church. Give to the poor, give to the things of God. Two of them are very important. The Bible says, he that gives to the poor lendeth to the Lord. It's good to give to the poor. But Paul also had times where people gave for the advancement of the kingdom. Because even that poor people, the Bible still says we should preach the gospel to the poor. So we need the finance to preach the gospel. Why are you people hearing me now? Money. Why can you see me from where you are sitting down now? Money. If there is no money now, this service would have ended. Some of you would have carried your bag and go. Because I will be shouting out my throat. You will still not hear me well. Am I saying the truth? Very important. We understand some people take advantage of people. But the scripture teaches that we should give. So forget about people taking advantage of people. Do what the scripture says. And if you are in a place where you suspect they are taking advantage of you via money, you can leave. I always teach it like that. Are you all listening to me? Very important. But that would not stop me from teaching what the Bible teaches as regards giving. So we must learn sacrifice. I have never told, you know, one time somebody came to my office and said, sir. She's a lady. She said, sir, my phone screen has scattered and I need it to be online for Bible study and maybe my business, but more of Bible study. I said, okay. And I'm supposed to partner. Sir, what do you advise that I do? You can imagine this kind of question. I looked at her. I said, just prepare your phone screen. Because I know what Satan wants to do there. If I say partner, she'll go and tell her friend. I went, professor, I should partner. What kind of prophet is that? Well, I've started. I've given Satan a foothold. So I said, when you partner and make money with the phone, when you repair your screen and make money with the phone, then use the money and partner. But the most important thing is that when you are in that situation, you don't come and meet prophets. You meet the Holy Ghost. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But this is it now. I've never told somebody to give house rent in this church. Even though I've heard that they say me I used to collect people's school fees. You know, I've heard news about me in this town that I'm wondering where it's coming from. They say I sell cocaine. That's why we have money to do church. That's one of the things that I sell hard drugs, you know, drugs. And Igboya. Cocaine and the likes of them. I used to sell it. That's why we have money. Then the second one, they say we collect school fees and we collect people's house rent to advance the kingdom. Abi, we give school fees and we give house rent. You know, it's so funny. One of our members said, it was even a pastor that they invite the pastor. The pastor, isn't that church that they used, people used to give their school fees? I don't know if anybody has given their school fees, but to the best of my knowledge, nobody have come and said, pastor, I want to sow school fees. And I say, God bless you, give me the school fees. I've never tried it. Because school fees, firstly, is not your money. It's your father that gave you money to go and pay your school fees. So you pay your school fees. Even phone in this church, those days, when people sow phone, we used to return phone. I say those days because now if you sow, it's gone. Those days I'll be preaching, people come and drop phones. I'll now call the protocol, which people drop phone, they'll call them and say, God has received your gift. Collect back your phones. Because I know some of them will go and cry at home. So I say, take. God has seen. It's the intention that matter. Like Abraham. Abraham killed Isaac in his heart. You have given the phone in your heart. God have accepted it. One day, we were preaching. People drop phone. I told Pastor Ed, ask Pastor Rome how much you will sell this phone. Now, it's not because we're... But let's now... honor their sacrifice. Let's receive it. But those days we used to return food. Some people come here, they don't have rent. We try to help them. Some that have their rent and they are considering partnership, we used to warn, you don't have where to stay, you want to partner. It's not God's wisdom. Go and if you must partner and not have a place to stay, do it in faith by yourself. Don't tell us. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's your own faith now. Do it alone. Don't tell anybody. Not that you come and tell us you don't have rent, but you have partner. Then you'll be looking at us every day in church. I'll be wondering what we should do. Anytime worship starts, you are crying. We'll always think it's because your landlord is disturbing you. Even if you slay me, you have Nidan said. Keep some sacrifices to yourself. Like yesterday, I was talking to some leaders. I said, when it comes to money, there must be discipline. You must work yourself to be disciplined with money. Else, you will never be a giver. Money is very sweet. Money defines a lot of people. There are some people you know, and today you don't understand again because of money, chicken change. They used to, like I was talking to a lady, she did not have salary before. She was trusting God for salary. She now got job. Those days, they now give her 60,000 a month. 60,000. I say, wow, 60,000. It's not really big money, but from nothing to 60. Now, I say, how much is your partnership? You say, sir, I'll be giving the Lord. Was it 5,000 or 10,000? I can't really remember. Then it came to like how many, 6 months she did not partner. And I said, come to my office. She came. I said, what's happening? He said, sir, things are tight. I said, okay, yeah, 60,000 is not so much. But you did not have 0,000 before. Even zero, you had minus zero. Now God gives you 60 to test you. You still cannot give to God from the 60. You say you have done like 10 adashe. From 60,000. And I say, you see how God tests people? He said, he that is faithful in, will be faithful in what? 60. If God give you 60 million, you will still do adashe. You forget him. It's the truth. What you cannot do now that you have 60, you will not do when you have 60 million. You must cultivate yourself to be a giver. I was teaching that. It's a hard teaching, though, because I know as I'm teaching now, some people will be looking at me with quarter past four eye. I'm suspecting him. He wants to collect our money. I don't need your money. I'm not saying it out of pride. I have a way to sustain myself. God has helped me in that area. I'm not talking about your money. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Very important. But I was teaching leaders yesterday. I said it would be wickedness for me as your pastor not to teach you these principles. I was taught giving when I was growing up. I was taught it. That's why it's not hard for me. It's not hard. And that's why I keep on having. I've never been in a tight situation that God cannot help me financially. I've never, since the day I was born till now, that I remember I was born again. I've never. It may seem tough till somehow God just blows my mind. Are you listening to me tonight? You must learn it. You can never come out of debt. You can never come out of poverty without giving. No matter how you pray, it is givers that never lack, not prayer warriors. There are many prayer warriors who are lacking today. Many of them. And it will now tempt you to start doing all these false practices. Fruit of the womb, $2,000. Breaking marital delay, 1,500. Especially on women's head, you make money very plenty. You see that? Because now you are looking for a way to make money as a prayer warrior. You are not seeing the money. Lastly, again, some people think that when you become born again, you have money. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost, I'm born again. Then some again, they stop at calling forth money. Money! Come unto me now in the name of Jesus. There's a job to apply for. Instead of applies, I will apply when I wake up. Kai, body no be firewood, body no be firewood. Oh. You will call that money, eh? The money will now call you. Money! Come unto me. Johnson! Come unto me too in the name of Jesus. You will not see that money. Faith without work is what? Dead. I was talking with Pastor Ann yesterday. Is it day before yesterday? We're talking about some opportunities that came. So I was asking her, did you send it to people around us, the link? She said, sir, yes, I did. I said, sir, I'm just a little bit skeptical because of how some of them are behaving. She's in a group teaching HR. They did not pay the way what we tell them to pay is an atrocity. Just more like a form of appreciation to learn. I say, how is the group going? He says, sir, they are not serious. I gave them a work to do. Most of them have not done it. I shook my head. Betty was there listening to me. I said, it is well. Because it was a role, I was saying, why not take one of your people and fix this? He says, sir, I don't think they'll be able to do it. She's been honest with herself. I said, okay, fine. I agree with you. So that you don't even put yourself in trouble. So I got so disappointed. I said, what about this opportunity? He says, sir, I am the one telling them to even apply. When I check, because you can see it at the back end, most of them, sir, have not applied. I say, now, wow. Year of the flight. Opportunity has come. Apply now, and they are begging you to apply. She says, sir, the reason I don't want to even disturb some of them is that they will tell me to create the CV for them. Somebody is giving you an opportunity, the person will now create you CV. You will not apply, the person will not accept you. They will be dragging you to do the work like bag of rice. I say, Pastor Anne, those people don't even mention again. Let poverty, the Bible says a little sleep and poverty will work. A little laziness, it will hit you. Why? Sometimes it is good for poverty to hit you. Are you listening to me, somebody? It's called sakba. Is that what they call it? It needs to hit you for you to be wise. When you wake up in the morning and there is no 100 naira in your account, your eye will clear. You know, some people you are pitying, you are destroying their life. Somebody is not hardworking, does not like anything labor. You now remove 50k and say, take, I de pity you. If you hear the Holy Ghost will tell you, resist that person. Don't now go to Facebook, some of them are saying, people are wicked. We started together, now they've left me. That's what the Holy Ghost still did not answer them. When the thing hits them very well, it's blocked, they'll be looking for where to carry. Okay, can I carry? It's a good place to be. Leave them. At that point, now they will understand what it means to make money. There's a way they will appreciate your 5K now when you send it to them. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And when you say you don't have the 5K to give, there's a way they will understand. Because them, they don't have, and they're working. It is wickedness. See, God in His mercy will never make you rich if you are not hardworking. He will never. And I was talking to myself. I said, this generation is giving me, almost giving me heart attack. Women are more hardworking than men. Women are more hardworking than men. I have not seen a generation that have more lazy men like this, my young generation. You are begging a man to work. When women, that is why they will finish now married, the woman is covering the bees in the house. It is a sin for you as a man not to work. It's a sin, original sin. It is a sin. You don't like work as a man. And you want to marry. How? How do you want to marry? You should not be married. We should avoid you at all costs. That's why when we were growing up, the Lord told me, he said, make it mandatory for all your leaders to work. You can't be in my leadership team and not be working. You don't. If you must be doing something, if there's no sense, zobo and bones, you must do something. You can't be in my leadership team and not be working. You can't. Whether you are a guy, you must be working. Are you listening to me tonight, people of God? Very important. Work hard. Work is very, very important. Praying in tongues and grace does not stop hard work. Are you listening to me? When you are done doing laba, 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 wear your clothes and get into the labor market. There's an anointing on you that will make sure that your work will produce results. Stay late nights to learn that graphics very well. Stay late night to understand that your field very well. I was showing them yesterday in the office. Elon Musk said he slept 2 hours for several years. I mean several months. 2 hours. You're now saying, the God of Elon Musk, be my God. You are explaining why 8 hours of sleep is very important. Somebody that can buy your sleep is watching you. He can buy your sleep. I'm not saying rest is not important. I'm sure he had time to rest. But I'm trying to show you the beauty of hard work. He's the richest man in the whole world now. It's not a coincidence. People that pray in tongues are not seeing his back. Because there's a place for praying in tongues. There's a place for what? Hard work. And I'm not talking down praying in tongues. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. Very important. What praying in tongues can achieve, money cannot achieve. I hope you get what I'm trying to explain. But you see, if you really want this money, if you want money, you'll not stop at praying in tongues. Must apply your heart to be God. You know, a lot of waters are stirred in your heart. Use this new mind now, this refreshed mind. Be innovative. Some of you go out now and look at this town. There's a problem you can solve. Go and look at it. And I'm telling people, it's not all about tech. It's not everybody that must do tech. Even though I'm a techie, I like to invite people in tech. Not only tech. There are people. I started farming recently. Are you here? I know you are looking at me and wondering what hand I'm using to farm. I started farming. I have almost 4 plots of land now I'm farming. Even though I'm not going to farm there too, even though I don't want to sell the produce, my house will be smiling. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? My kitchen will have a lot of food. Dangote is a farmer. You are not. The difference is clear. Dangote is a what? The man has one of the biggest farm in the world. Tomato, pepper, that's what they have. You have your own farm, you say. No. It's not my kind of thing. I'm not caught up for that. I can't do that. You think you are better than a farmer. Go to these villages and see what these farmers have in their account. They don't even like banks. They used to feel like banks used to cut their money. They have asusu. They have where they used to gather their money. You see a villager, you'll be saying villager, 1.5 million, 2 million, 5 million in their account. You are in the city, you can't pay rent. Somebody have 5 million in the village. Say you're a city boy. 5 million. And he will still want to bill you. Oh boy, things are not hard in the village. Things are hard, sorry, in the village. You cannot farm. Go and check the prices of cassava, granite, corn. You know, one time we bought land and in church, and there was a situation. A part of the land was part of road. So when the surveyors came and cut it, we not told the man that we actually meant for all, but this is a situation. The man said, "Oh, sorry, pastor. I'll just go to the market and I'll sell my produce and I'll send you the 2 million naira." I said, "Oh God, what do you want to sell? To raise 2 million in less than 1 week?" He said, "No, pastor, don't worry. That one is not a problem. I'm a man of integrity. You will see your 2 million before Saturday." I thought he was joking with us. I said, "What do you want?" He said, "Sir, my granite is there now." I said, "Oh God, is it granite you sell? You are being serious here." He said, "Pastor, Saturday is what I've said. If you don't see the money, you can do anything you want to do. On Saturday, before we woke up, money has entered account." I called. I said, "Sir, I just want to say I appreciate you. You are a wonderful person." He said, "Yes, I've not even finished selling the granite. They did not buy all, but just the one I've sold now." I said, "Sir, you sold granite for 2 million. I'm not understanding what you are saying. What are you saying, sir? Can you explain this thing? Which granite? Is it granite? Glory, heavenly granite? Or he says it's granite. So they sell granite and get 2 million. And you have not registered Farmer Association. Where's your card for Farmers Association of Nigeria? You have not done it. Where's your own card? Everybody go and put it here. Farmer, proud farmer of the Federal Republic of Nigeria." I know of a man who said he makes 5 million a month. I'm not exaggerating. What does he say? Baje, tomato, that's kataskata word. Baje. You think I'm lying now, but it's with my kuro-kuro eyes I saw this interview. I heard it. 5 million a month. What kind of budget is he selling? Budget tomato. See, don't just sit down. I heard a story recently of a man. They say he went, the guy went, you know, he's tailor. I think he's a popular guy who does some kind of conferences. He said he went to his tailor shop and he saw one powerful car. I've forgotten the name, Land Cruiser or something. So he was wondering maybe somebody came to see his tailor. So he climbed up to greet the tailor. Now came out together with him. And they were going down. He saw the teller opening the car to enter. So he said he passed his own car, his Camry. Because he couldn't believe what he saw. So when the teller was entering his Land Cruiser, he saw his Camry, he denied the Camry and was going forward. Then when the teller passed, he said, no, he wants to just get something before he takes his car. He didn't point his car, he denied his car 3 times. He was now asking, is this a ritualist or a tailor? Is it a tailor or a ritualist? One day he now gathered confidence and spoke to the tailor. What are you doing? The tailor now showed him a picture. They go to China with normal wares, like retail boys. They will buy plenty materials. You don't know he has Land Cruiser in Nigeria. Bring it to Nigeria, be selling the materials and he's still sewing for big people. So he sells materials and he sews. Travels to China to go and buy like a boy and come back. See, that's how he makes the money. But if you see him in China, you don't admire him. Until you see him in his Land Cruiser in Nigeria, that's when you admire him. I will not tell you some story about myself. Lately, somebody discovered something about me. I said, sir, you do this business too? I said, eh, now. He said, but I've never seen you post the business. I said, some of us have graduated from posting. We are in between. We are inner underground agents. They just call us for consultation. Then they send us our small 100K and 50K and the rest. He said, sir, I can't believe you do this business. I said, yes. Prophet Simon does the business. And many more. Hallelujah to Jesus. So if I'm doing business, I should come and announce it. But I'm a man. If I don't do business, they'll push me in the house. My wife will not eat. My children will not eat. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? As I'm standing here, my child's school fees, till she graduates, is planned for already from university. It's called plan. Are you listening to me? She already has an account. She will never be poor in her life. Nothing can ever make her poor. The next son I'm giving birth to, baby Jesus, his account is already, I'm already planning his money. He has to have more money. He's a man. Don't marry my daughter, him, he will marry somebody. So, I know some of you are shocked. But we planned it. I can't give birth and my children will suffer. I've suffered enough. So if they suffer, they will know life. Shut up. If they know the word of God, they will know life. Say, pastor, how do you do it? It's plan. Are we together? Are you here? One more wisdom before we go. There's a story about somebody who had 20 million. One bought a house in Lekki. The other one, I heard the story yesterday. The other one started Zenith Bank. Who is the most foolish? Now, Zenith Bank is worth so many billions. There's no house the guy cannot buy in any part of the world. But the one who uses his money to build house, to show off in Lekki, is broke today. They say he has sold the house currently. What am I trying to say? When you get money now, don't be thinking of spending it. I want to buy burger and this one and that one. I told somebody recently, I said, you have to have mind to make money. You need mind. You see 2 million like this, you carry it and put in another business. 5 million like this, you go and buy one land. I don't see millions as money. I've grown to that point. You give me 10 million, I've spent it in your front. Because I was already waiting for that 10 million. I know what to do. 4 land has gone down. I will never lose buying land. Never lose buying. It only goes up. It never comes down. I know millionaires today because of properties. Millionaires. Millionaires. I used to tell my wife, if there's any money I don't understand, I don't know where the money is going to, I just buy land. If I don't know what to do with money, I just buy land. I tell people I can never be poor in my life. It's not mouth. Whether you beg me to be poor, I will never be poor in my life. Because my life is already planned out by the Lord. And I use His wisdom to arrange my life. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? If you are tired of being poor in this place, shout glory to God. go back home. I've taught you two things in one. How to live above sin. So now that you are not living in sin again, be rich. You know, you can be living above sin and be living under the mastery of poverty. And it's not right. Are we together? You are not in sin, you are not poor. What a combination. You can't be compromised. You have the best things of life. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The best things of life. One time, I was talking to Donald and Betty, and I said, you people, your first car must be Corolla 2003-2005. They said, is it this car you mean? I said, yes. Except I'm not Prophet Simon, you can never buy any car first before this one. Sister, but what if you want to use Benz? I say, see your mouth like Benz. It's wisdom. I said, that car goes to Ikpayongo and come back, it's still breathing well. It goes to, I say, you start with a car that you can use very well. Because, you know, you all grow to that point that you know that the goal is to move from one place to another. But when you have not grown, you think the goal is to show off. You come to that point that God will want you to buy the best Benz because he wants people to know that you are blessed. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But now that you are trying to get yourself up, you don't try to show off. What you are looking for is means of transportation. Sir, what if I buy GLK? How much is your salary? You think even 500K can survive GLK? They say windscreen broke. You now hear 1.5 million. You now say, am I dreaming? No, you are not. It is 1.5 million. You now see, you now understand why your fathers and grandfathers in Makurdi are driving Corolla and Honda. Windscreen 35,000. Shocks 40,000. Wisdom is for somebody that wants to buy a car. I've advised you. You know one thing they say about your first car? They say anyhow they advise somebody that wants to buy his first car, they always still buying the wrong car. But I pray for you. You will buy the right one in the name of Jesus. Amen. Your cars have come in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yesterday I had a vision where in a private jet going somewhere with some members. Not a lie, I tell you the truth. And I was asking myself, because it's a member that was flying the jets. I was like, I don't trust this guy. You know my problem with people that are very close. So, you know, even till today, Pastor Ed cannot drive me because he gave a testimony one time that God saved him from accident two times. First time he said God saved him from accident. Second time he now said he drove and entered somewhere. When we gave God praise, he said, sir, can I drive you? I said, God saved you from accident two times. Let this not be the third time because he will save you. But I'm not sure my car will be safe. So I said, you will not be driving me. You are my dear protocol, but no driving. Driving does not join me and you. Thank you. God bless you. So I saw a member flying the jet. And I was saying, do you know what you are doing? Then he was now doing some stunts. He will go close to a building and now turn 360. So I said, what is happening in this place? That's why I didn't even take the vision so serious. You want to kill us? He said, no, sir. I'm just trying to test something. You know, yeah, it's a year of flight. Yes, you need to see our auditorium if you have seen it in the spirit. Have you seen it in the spirit? It will be live studio. When pin fall, we hear it. Doctor, I hope you are ready with all those camera, wicked camera. You know, doctor with his amount for camera, oh my God. I told him to do the calculation. We are going to buy, even if it's 20 million, we are buying everything. World-class standard. When you are done recording, no need for editing. You are not the one to sing. You are the one to be there. It should be clear. You know, I told some of the pastors, I said, if we don't have choir, and you people are the only people that will sing, may we never have choir in our church. Their voices are so terrible, Pastor Joe and Pastor Rome. So I said, may God never give us choir. Because even angels will run away. I told you about what we'll bring to the city. The source of revenue. When those white men will be coming for cardboard. from diverse nations of the earth. The government will have nothing to do but to partner with us, give us a land, let's build airport. All those airports, we will build it. Because see, we'll have a lot of money. A lot of money that will just be doing things. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? We call them kingdom projects. Kingdom airports. A parking space for all of us. As regards flights. Moses is going to Johannesburg to catch up with his family for a meeting, but he needs to attend service in Makurdi. So he just comes with his private jet and he parks. And after the service, he says, "Pastor, so I have to catch up." I say, "Okay, God bless you. From Lafia, you have gone to Johannesburg now." So do you understand what I'm trying to talk about? My goodness. My goodness. It's what we call faith. You know, some people are wondering, what is Pastor doing like this? I'm describing the things. Calling out the things which are not as though they were. That's exactly what will happen. Money is the least things we'll think about. When we have our Christian station and we're taking the gospel in every tribe, even Agatu people will hear this gospel interpreted in their own language. You know, their language is different from Idoma regular language. We'll take it in Agatu. Jesus, they'll hear it. We'll carry this gospel to Oju. Are you listening to me? Put it everywhere. Send a team pastor there. Told you. Pastor Ed and his bride-to-be will send them there. So that they'll break that yoke of thief man cannot marry a gede woman. We are breaking that yoke. If you are Igede in this place, that yoke is broken in the name of Jesus. May God give you a thief man and a thief woman in the name of Jesus. Love her did not say amen. Oh, no problem. She put her head down. She put her head down. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here? Glory to God forevermore. Again, I say the list of your problems shall be many. That will be the list of your problems. Because you have this money in abundance. It will not bother you. Because you are hardworking. You are going out this week by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are going out to be hardworking. Working so hard. Making the millions. In the name of Jesus. I declare before this year will run out, you will walk in the millions. Because of the grace of God upon your life. And because of hard work. In the name of Jesus. These days of money in your life, these days of lack, are the least days that you ever walk in lack in the name of Jesus. I declare, you will never know lack. You will never know lack. You will never know lack. In the name of Jesus. The Lord is lifting your hands. He's lifting your hands. He has seen your labors. And He has sent help. He's bringing men to come and lift your hands up. They will lift your hands up. They will lift your hands up. They will lift your hands up. Ministering spirit are out now in the name of Jesus. Setting you in high places. Going to your offices. Going to your boss's place. And speaking in your favor right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You will take your family out of that yoke of shame. God will use you to take your family out of that yoke of shame in the name of Jesus Christ. You will break the barrier in the name of Jesus Christ. I say you will break the yoke. You will break that barrier. Where nobody has touched financially, you are breaking the edge. You are breaking the limit. You are breaking the limit. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I say again this year, the remaining part of the year, the Lord will show you mercy. You will see His hand so strong, you beyond human phantom. because you believe and because you are working hard, you will see the Lord show up in difficult situations. Just when you thought that it was over, He will show up and show Himself so strong and mighty. Now, I declare as a prophet over your life that wherever you have applied for something, a proposal, now the Lord is sending help, ministering spirit, angels on assignments. Oh, lakabayeko, lakaliga. Are going there to dust your papers, to dust your proposals, and getting them highlighted. That if people use demonic forces, the Lord is sending forth His forces from this very moment in the name of Jesus. The forces of heaven are going to that place. The forces of heaven are going to that place. And because you have the impetus to apply, because you have the faith, because you have the impetus to dare the impossible, the Lord said, I will give you exceedingly. He said, I will give you abundantly. He said, I will give you above all that you have thought and imagined. Because no demonic force will stop you. Nothing in this world can stop you. No wickedness of men can stop you. You are inheriting the high places of life. In the name of Jesus. And I prophesy over you this wonderful morning, that if you are ever struggling in your walk with God, in the name of Jesus, the fire of God is being stirred in your heart. All the things you did before that were wrong, right now the Holy Ghost is stirring His fire on your inside. You go back home and the desires, you find out that there's a certain level of strength and energy right now. There's a potential difference on your inside. Something that, an ability that can cause you to do beyond all of your weaknesses, is here now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Receive strength. Amen. Receive strength. Amen. Receive strength. Amen. Paul in the word said, I long to see you so that I may impart in you certain abilities. As your hands are lifted up in the name of Jesus, I impart upon you spiritual abilities. In the name of Jesus, wherever there is weakness, I declare strength now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And finally, I declare over you tonight that it is your acceptable year of the Lord. When we say acceptable year of the Lord, it's a season, a prophetic season in the Old Testament, where whatever you have worked for and not worked for, the priest comes once in a year and he declares that it will just, things will just work for your favor. More like what Jesus said in scripture, he said, others labor and you have come to enter into their rest. That's what I'm declaring right now. In the name of Jesus, this is your acceptable season. I prophetically call for jobs to come to you now. Jobs you have applied for and forgotten about, I hear them in my spirit. They are coming back. They are coming back to you. You are being considered. I know that you are being considered. You are being considered. You are being considered. You are being considered. In the name of Jesus. And so that you know I'm a prophet of the Lord, I hear somebody in this place, the Lord is giving you an offer. 1.5 million, I hear it so strong. And I say it today so that it is registered in your heart when we hear that testimony. I hear 1.5 million naira offer. The Lord is giving you a job that will give you this amount of money. In the name of Jesus. As long as you have the impetus to apply, the job cometh to you. The job cometh to you. Your season of lack are over. Your season of struggling are over. In the name of Jesus. If you are in this place, I declare over your life, you will never suffer again. You will never suffer again. You will never lack again. You are highly favored. In the name of Jesus. Go back home and literally begin to see these things. I am causing you in a new season. And as I am steered by the Spirit, you will start seeing angelic interventions in everything you do. Everything you do in this season. Everything. The Lord is sending help like never before. For somebody, I'm hearing you crying for your mother. I'm hearing somebody now crying for his mom. The Lord is sending help to your mom now. I'm hearing you are crying for your mom. I'm hearing somebody. You are crying for your mom. The Lord is sending help to you. And I feel like just declaring just a bit. You know, sometimes when the Lord does something, he wants you to speak. It is not because you should shine, but because when it happens, people should know that he is the one that did it. When I say I hear help for someone's mom, the Lord was telling me, you, lift your hands. You go back and tell your mom that Thus says the Lord, that help has come so strong. Beyond any help of man. Beyond, you know, the Bible said something. I'm hearing it in my heart. The Lord said, in the Bible, you remember Abraham, the experience he had where somebody wanted to gift him and God said you should just withdraw from it. And the Lord spoke to him. He said, so that nobody say I favored Abraham. I'm hearing that case now as I speak to you. For the Lord is sending help. And this help will come in such a way that at the end, nobody will say, I help this woman. It will be only proven that God himself did this, and only God shall take all the glory. Lift your hands and celebrate the Lord.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.